Romans, the 8th chapter. And we'll read, starting in verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes it's easier to preach about praying than it is to pray. And, you know, it's easier to read about praying sometimes and to think about it, meditate on it, than it is to do the act itself. I believe the Christian has a desire to pray more. We do see just a few verses before this that it is the Spirit who causes us, makes us to cry out, Abba, Father. In the new birth. And one of the first things that we do in our regeneration is in the new birth is to cry out unto our God and to pray to Him. So it is something that we do from the very moment that the Lord saves us, and it's something we desire to do. But because the flesh is weak, I think it's something that we all would admit that we struggle with sometimes, or maybe most times, that there are times where we just struggle to pray and struggle to continue in prayer. And that is a common, though it's not an excuse, it is a common problem for the children of God. Even when the Lord Himself asked Peter and James and John to watch with Him in prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane and just stay awake and pray with Him and pray for Him. The flesh was weak and they fell asleep and they couldn't just stay awake. They had infirmities. We have many hindrances when it comes to prayer. But in our times of greatest trial, and because of our great infirmities, the Lord is gracious to His people and helps us in our prayer. And this is one of the comforts that we find in walking in the Spirit, that we find in this section of Romans, that one of the blessings of salvation and the new birth and walking in the Spirit is the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayers. Our weakness in prayer necessitates that the Lord come and help us. And we find assurance in this as we consider some of these things about prayer with the Holy Spirit. But because of our weakness in the flesh, we need the blessed Holy Spirit to help us in our prayer life. So this harkens back to this whole theme that we've been thinking about for these last couple months, starting in a couple chapters back with the weakness of the flesh. That there was a desire for Paul to do good, but that good which he would do, he didn't do it. And he would do the bad things that he didn't want to do, but those good things, such as prayer, and that he desired to do and he delighted in after the inward man. There was that other law in his members warring against the law of the Spirit in his flesh. And is the infirmities of this flesh, this old man, that battles with the new man, even in prayer. And so as we walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, we still have to battle this weak flesh. And because our Father knows this, and because our God pities us as children, He helps us. He helps us in our infirmities, in our weaknesses, in our prayers. And that's what we'll consider tonight. So it starts off with likewise. And so we know that that's connected to something that's happened before. And I think really it's just the whole chapter. Because again, it teaches us about life in the Spirit. The born-again believer no longer walks in the flesh. Not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He is delivered from the condemnation of the law. He's given a new heart and a new mind. And being in the Spirit, he is now able to please God. We are now in Christ. And if we have Christ, we have the Spirit of Christ. And he dwells within us. And we have the hope of resurrection, knowing that our mortal bodies will be raised up by the Spirit. And we fight sin and mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. And so those deeds of the flesh that rise up, that remaining and indwelling sin that is still within us, by the Spirit's help, he comes alongside and helps us in this fight against our own old nature to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And we do this by the Spirit's power, and he leads us in our walk, and he leads us day by day, and he leads us even to pray as we cry out, Abba Father, that spirit of adoption that we've received, knowing because he witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. And even now in this sin-cursed world, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the return of Christ and the redemption of our body, having the first fruits of the Spirit. We are buoyed up in this present suffering, knowing that it cannot be compared with the glory which is to be revealed in us of in that the day when we are raised up by the power of the Spirit in our glorified body. So we have hope. We have hope in what we are in Christ, what we are as we walk after the Spirit. We have hope in the fact of our adoption. There is hope in our future, and there is help in our prayers. So that's why I believe it says likewise. Because I just surveyed really the first part of this chapter and all the things that the Spirit of God does for us. And so in our present condition, in this sin-cursed world, in the weakness of our flesh, as the Spirit helps us to mortify our sin because we can't do it ourselves, who gives us strength and grace to walk and follow him, for he is the Spirit of life, and because the flesh is death and enmity against God, he helps us and guides us and gives us life and gives us hope and gives us the adoption. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities in prayer. So in the same way that the Spirit helps us in all these other ways, the Spirit of God helps us as we pray. It says he helps us, helps our infirmities. Now this shows the participation. The Spirit doesn't do the work for the Christian, but he helps the child of God. Now the Spirit helping doesn't remove our responsibility. So you don't read this and get the impression, well, I don't have to pray because the Spirit will pray for me. You don't get that whenever you read this. What you do find is the Spirit helps us. Just as we are called to mortify the deeds of the flesh. In verse 13, it says, if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the flesh. That is a responsibility in our part, knowing that it is the Spirit who helps us. We are to pray, but it's the Spirit that comes along and helps. It doesn't remove our responsibility, and yet he aids us and directs us and assists us and lends us strength. God, the Holy Spirit, helps us. You can imagine maybe a young boy learning to shoot a shotgun, and the dad's going to help him, and the dad stands there and holds the gun in place for him and does all these things for him where the boy, he probably couldn't do it by himself. The boy, after he shoots it, he knows that he has done it himself, right? He shot the gun, even though the dad was there all along helping and guiding and prompting and and instructing. In a similar way, it's maybe a silly illustration, but in a similar way, the Spirit helps us that we are not inactive, but we are active in prayer, but the Spirit comes along and helps us and lends assistance and strength, strengthens us in our weaknesses. The Spirit sympathizes with us, but He also participates in this activity with us. He actively and personally engages with us in our prayer life. We can readily know that God the Father hears us. And we all know that and remember that. And we know that the Son intercedes for us. And we know that and believe that as He sits at the right hand of the Father. But let us not forget the work of the blessed Holy Spirit who is within us and helps us and strengthens us. That in our weakness and in our infirmities, He's there to lend strength and aid and guidance and help. We have many infirmities. We have a lack of faith and lack of knowledge. Just our own temptations, the weakness of the flesh, the weakness of the mind, the weakness of the will, fearfulness, feebleness. So many things hinder us in our Christian duty. We have so many physical things that will hinder us. Barnes said the word infirmities refers to weaknesses to which we are subject in various trials in the life. The Spirit helps us by strengthening us to bear them, exciting us to make efforts to sustain them, by ministering to us consolations and truths and views of our Christian privileges that enable us to endure our trials. So we have many infirmities. There's a lot of things that we have wrong with this in our spiritual life. But there are two things in particular here that our text says the Spirit helps us in particularly in our prayer life. So He does help us with our weakness, and He does help us in temptations, and help us with our lack of faith and our knowledge and so forth. But specifically, in verse 26, there are ways that He helps us when we pray. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So we don't know what to pray, and we don't know what to pray for. So there is sometimes a lack of our ability just to know what to say. And then there's a lack of ability to know what to ask. Because of our infirmities, sometimes we just don't even know what we should pray for. And even if we do know what to pray for, sometimes because of our infirmities, we just don't know how to say it. I read that this word help can be illustrated in this way. It's illustrated by some people who know the language, and said you could think of it almost like a lawyer. And imagine a man has been charged with a crime that he didn't commit. And he's an uneducated man. And he knows that he didn't do it. But as far as knowing the law, and as far as knowing the legal proceedings, as far as knowing what to plead and when to talk and what to say and what not to say, he is ignorant of all these things. And so he hires a lawyer, an advocate, to be on his side so that when the district attorney comes and tries to attack or offers an illegal maneuver of some sort, this advocate knows the law. And whereas the man just wants to say, well, I didn't do it, his advocate knows how to plead the case and how to make his case and the words to say and the right ways to say it and the things to offer. So we can imagine in such a way that we might not know what to say, but our Spirit, the Blessed Spirit comes to our aid and helps us and guides our minds and our hearts and even in what to plead on our behalf. He helps our infirmities in such a way. He's also, you might think of it like a mother reading along with her child, teaching him to read. And you all know how that is. When you're first teaching a child to read, they might know a few words, but not very many, and they come to a word they might not know, and there's the prompting and the reminding and the helping of the child along, that the mother won't just read the book outright in, during these times, but will guide the child and help the child along to remember and to put the right words together in order to read. So that's it, maybe in the sense of a prompting. Or gives us the motivation, the idea and themes and topics of prayer. And those are imperfect examples, but just little word pictures that you might be able to think along these lines, because how the Spirit does this, we don't know. It is a mystery to us, but we do know by faith that it occurs. And so just these illustrations might help us to think in those terms, that the Spirit doesn't pray for us while we don't pray, but He assists us and helps our infirmities. Sometimes we know we need to pray, but we don't even know what to ask for or how to go about asking. Sometimes we have a personal need that is great, but we don't know what the right answer is or what direction even to pray. We ask for things we may be asking for outside of the will of God, and we just don't know, especially when it comes with temporal things, right? So we might pray for healing that might not be the will of God that He heals us. And so we just don't know sometimes what to pray for. We might ask for something that would be the wrong answer to the problem. Right? We might think somebody has a problem in one area, right? So we might pray for them that they might be helped temporally, but the real problem is a spiritual problem that we just don't know. So we don't know how to pray sometimes. And there's the infirmities of the flesh, where the mind wanders or our strength fails. Our words just won't come to us to express the problem, let alone the solution. Have you ever been in the situation where you just don't even know how to express the problem, let alone plead for the assistance of God, and not even know what to ask for? But you know from the bottom of your heart you need help. You pray in temptation that the Lord would help you, but you're just at your wit's end and how to overcome this trial and this temptation. Or you don't know where the attack is coming from, and you don't know why the temptation has come upon you and which way to turn. Well, the Spirit helps our infirmities. We might have a concern for a brother or sister in Christ who is in rebellion. How can we pray for them? What do we ask for? You hear some say, God bless America. But is that the right prayer even? Can we ask God to bless a nation that is in rebellion? Is the better prayer, God bless this nation with repentance, grant repentance to our people? All right, so we just don't know. Even though our concern is for these things, sometimes we just don't know how to pray and what to pray for as we ought. Picture the child of God, deep with concern, longingly pouring out his heart to his heavenly Father over some trial or temptation or trouble. And the Son is making intercession for us at the right hand. But Jesus didn't leave us on our pilgrimage alone. He gave us the Comforter, the Spirit of God that dwells within us. And as the Comforter, He has surely the compassion on us. And as we are earnestly praying to the Father, the Spirit comes and assists us in our prayer. He is there with us as we struggle to pray for as what we ought, to ask as we ought. There the Spirit is interceding in our prayer life, helping us to pray. Even those emotions that we have come from the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I don't think that we can attribute even our brokenheartedness over sin to our own self, but that is the prompting, I believe, of the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever committed some failure? Have you ever sinned, child of God, and just fall upon your face and weep, begging for forgiveness, but not even able to communicate the sorrow of your heart, of how you have failed the Lord, and how you have broken His command, and how you have not lived up to what He has called you to do, and you can't even put it into words through the tears, but you pray and cling to the Lord. Well, that is the Spirit of God directing you even in those prayers. The Spirit of God brings a remembrance, conveys to the Son what we are asking. Those are those groanings which cannot be uttered, that the Lord knows and helps us as we pray. He makes intercession for us. Now, Christ intercedes for us. We know that from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that he intercedes for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And Jesus Christ, our great high priest, arose from the dead and ascended on high to the right hand of the Father, and there makes intercession for us always as our high priest. But the Spirit also has a work in intercession. A.W. Pink said, Jesus is the intercessor at the Father's right hand, but the Holy Spirit is the intercessor at our right hand. And as the Son intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father, the Spirit is at our own right hand, interceding for us here upon the earth. That we have, as one man put it, we have an advocate at the throne of grace in heaven, and we have an advocate here upon the earth at our right hand, that we are well covered by the blessed work of God as He intercedes for us here upon, even in our own hearts. The Spirit works with us, and the Spirit works for us. Christ makes a way for us to pray, and the Spirit enables us to pray, helping us in our prayer. Now, no man can come unto God, unto the Father, except through Christ Jesus. And you cannot pray apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That it is His work as high priest that makes prayer possible. Our prayers are heard on for Jesus' sake. That because Christ is our high priest at the right hand of the Father, the Lord hears our prayers. The Lord doesn't hear the prayers of the wicked. Not that He doesn't hear them, but He doesn't regard them. Because the prayers of the wicked are not the prayers of faith. But in Christ, the prayers of faith are heard and they are answered. And it's through Christ's work that our prayers are heard and answered. But it's through the Spirit's work that we are able to pray at all. That the act of prayer is not some vain repetition. So the Spirit helps us, helps our infirmities. We wouldn't even know what to pray for as we ought to. Now there's things that you ought to pray for that would tell us, but there's things you ought to pray for and things you ought not to pray for. And so the Spirit helps us to pray, and then He helps us to pray for what we ought to pray for. He puts upon our heart people to pray for and things to pray for and situations to pray for. You know, if you are always believe, if you are reading the Scriptures and your mind pauses on a passage of Scripture and meditates on that you should think about that and meditate upon that, and you should that is the Spirit prompting you. And I believe also if you are in the activity of prayer, that if you are, if someone comes to your mind while you're praying, or someone just comes to your mind at all, then you should pray for it. I believe the Spirit guides our hearts and minds in what we ought to pray for and who we ought to pray for. And sometimes there are situations that we just don't know that the Lord has ordained from the foundation of the world that your prayer would be the means by which He accomplishes His will. And when we pray, sometimes we just don't know what to pray for, and we just have those groanings which cannot even be uttered. Now, that's not speaking in tongues, as some would say, or it's not the Spirit's groanings, but it's our groanings. Those expressions that we can't put words to. He knows our groanings and knows what our heart's desire is. Even as we pray, God assists us when we pray. When we're burdened and perplexed and overwhelmed and don't know what to do or where to turn, we know we have spiritual needs and know that God will provide, but what it is and how to pray is just beyond us. We know that we have sinned and fallen short, and we know that only Christ can pardon, but how to express that and how to put that in words is beyond our strength. Even to pray. As Octavius Winslow said, whether it be the groanings from a pressure of sin, from a sense of desire, from a conviction of want, from the smiting hand of God Himself, that groaning ascends to heaven and bears the throne of the Eternal, whose ear bends to the softest whisper and hearkens the gentlest sigh of His child, a confession or a request which shall not be unheard, unheeded, or forgotten. So as we groan within ourselves, struggling to even put words to our prayers, God, the Holy Spirit, who comes to our aid, takes those groanings to the throne of grace. And the Lord knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He pities us. The Father pities us as children. And you know, as parents, you who are parents know that if your child comes to you in tears and just doesn't know how to express themselves, that oftentimes you can sense and know what it is that they're asking, but you can't read their heart, can you? And how many times would you like to know, to be able to just to know how to help and how to comfort your child who is in pain and how to guide them, but they can't express it and you can't read the mind? Well, what we have is the Father who knows our heart. And when we cry and groan within us, He knows our intentions. And He knows our problems. And He knows our deepest sorrows. And those sighs, if all that it is a sigh, He knows exactly what that means. And He knows exactly how to help. So even those groanings are the sweet prayers that the Lord hears. These are the truest forms of prayer. You know, you watch situations on television, on the news and so forth, of people praying. I've seen several people pray at political events, and they come with their paper, their iPads and so forth, and they'll read their prayers, and they're very fine and they're very polished. But that's not the type of prayer that we have here, is it? It's not the type of prayer that we find from this passage. And whether there's a time or place for that is beyond our point of this message here. But the fact is, we certainly know there's a difference in the heart of this type of prayer than there is one that is offered as more of a speech to be heard by others rather than be heard of God. Spurgeon said along those lines, "Beloved, what a different view of prayer God has from that which men have. You may have seen very beautiful prayers in print. You may have heard very charming compositions from the pulpit. But I trust you have not fallen in love with them. Judge these things rightly. I pray you never think well of fine prayers, for before the thrice holy God, it ill becomes a sinful supplicant to play the orator." We've heard of preachers who said they give the finest prayers ever offered to an audience. Well, just so. Because the audience just received the prayer and that's where it ended. We want the mind of the Spirit in prayer, not the mind of the flesh. And he said, "The tail feathers of pride should be pulled out of our prayers, for they need only the wing feathers of faith." He said, "The peacock feathers of poetical expression are out of place before the throne of God." You don't have to be eloquent to pray. You don't have to know big fancy words and have your prayers just roll off the tongue. You don't have to wax eloquent and speak for some great length of time and have all the right words in all the right places for the Lord to hear. The child of God just needs to come to his Father and communicate with his Father. Sometimes you might say, "Well, I can't pray like so-and-so prays, or I can't put those words together like so-and-so might." Well, where does it tell us that we ought to do that? Read the prayers of the Scripture, read the situations of the Scripture where the man beat his breast. "Have mercy upon me," he cried. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ fell upon his face in the Garden of Gethsemane. Those are the prayers that you find in Scripture that are just the heart being set free, like a dam being opened up. And when that happens, even our emotions can be interpreted by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because verse 27 tells us, "He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He that searcheth the hearts is God, of course, and God searches the hearts. We know that. He knows what's going on. And someone might be able to pray very eloquent prayers just because they're eloquent people. So we can't judge what's in a man's heart just because they can speak well. It might be a very fine prayer, a very well-delivered prayer, and it might be a true heartfelt prayer. And just because someone stutters and stammers and groans doesn't mean that is any more spiritual than the other. God knows the hearts. And so we don't have to put on a show either way. God knows the hearts. And he searches the hearts. And he examines the hearts. And he proves the hearts. And he tests the heart. The heart is the basis for the way of doing these things. The Lord searches our hearts and knows us. So the Father and the Son who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. So I think we have the Blessed Trinity in this verse, that he that searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit. So it is not that the Father and the Son and the Spirit are all at odds, pleading and making the case. So That's why I said it was not a perfect example when I gave the example of the lawyer, because the Father is not against us and the Son is not against us in that regard. They are one, the three in one. But the Father and the Son and the Spirit are not of three different wills and three different minds, but of one mind. And so as the Spirit intercedes for us, and as Christ intercedes with us, and as the Father hears our prayers, they are all of one mind. And this gives us assurance in our prayers that both the Holy Spirit who works in us, and Christ who works for us, and the Father who hears and receives our prayers, all are of one mind, and all are of one heart towards the people of God. And that the Father loves his people, and the Son loves those the Father has given him, and the Spirit loves those to whom the Father and Son has sent forth to indwell and to help. We can grieve the Spirit indeed by our sinfulness. But it's difficult to grieve someone you don't love, and for someone to be grieved by someone they don't care for. Oh, the Spirit of God is our friend. He is our comforter. The Spirit of God loves his people. And he is for the people of God. He is the Spirit of grace and supplication, it says in Zechariah 12:10. The Spirit of grace to help, and the Spirit of supplication to come alongside and to help us in our prayer. The Spirit of God loves and cares for his people, and he will help you in your time of need. He will comfort you in your time of sorrow. He will help you as you need help. He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So this gives us a blessed assurance in our prayers, that if we ask in the will of God, then God will answer us. That is the script, that is the testimony of the Word of God. John 14:13 tells us these things. This is the testimony of God's Word, the testimony of God's Son. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus testifies that if we ask in his name, in the will of God, he will do it. He will answer. And so when we come to prayer, not trying to just get things for our own lust and not just trying to get things of the flesh and, Lord, give me that, and Lord, give me this. When we are led by the Spirit of God to the throne of grace, and when we seek the Lord in prayer and are led and helped and guided by the Spirit of God, he is not going to guide us in a prayer that is contrary to the will of God. He will guide us to pray the right prayer and to ask for the right things. And so this gives us a blessed assurance in prayer. And that's why we shouldn't just have vain repetitions. Lord, give me this, and Lord, I want to have that. But to come to the Lord in true prayer. And even if you just have to take a moment to get your mind right, or take a moment to read some scripture, to think and meditate on scripture before you go to the Lord in prayer. Sometimes that's helpful. If you struggle in prayer, to read a psalm and think about that psalm. Think about the Lord for a moment. Listen to God for a few moments before you go to God and speak. And oftentimes the Spirit of God will guide your heart and mind as you read and meditate on Scripture. That can help you to pray, to listen to God before you talk to God. But just remember what you're doing. Remember who you're speaking with. Let me close here with Winslow. He said that our requests in this regard are boundless. That we can leave the shore and stop hugging the shoreline and boldly launch out into the deep, the depths of God's love and the Savior's grace. Ask of God's love and the Savior's grace. Ask what the will He says. That's a broad, unrestricted statement. When we ask to be perfected in the love of God, we ask which is in accordance to the will of God, for God is love. When we ask for an increase of faith, we ask that which is in accordance to the will of God. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If we ask to be conformed to His divine image, we ask in His will, for He said, "Be holy as I am holy." When we ask for comfort, we plead for that which is in His heart to give us, for He is the God of all comfort. Oh, to possess a divine counselor dwelling in our hearts who will never indict a wrong prayer or suggest a weak argument or mislead us in any one particular way in the solemn, the important, the holy engagement of prayer. Who knows the purpose of God? Who knows the mind of God? Who understands the will of God? What an encouragement to prayer. Are you moved to pray? Is your heart stirred up now for some special blessing for yourself or others? Are you afflicted? Well, then rise and pray. If the Spirit prompts you, the Savior invites you, and your Father waits to answer you. With an intercessor in the court of earth, so divine, so loving, so sympathizing, with an intercessor in the court of heaven, so powerful and so successful, let us boldly come to the throne of grace where we find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. And Lord, help us to pray. Let's stand.